It's Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Every year, Irish Fest features the music of a particular region or style. Last year, it was American bluegrass and how the folk and traditional music of Ireland and Scotland helped to shape it. This year, the microphone turns to Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia means New Scotland in Latin, and Scottish musical traditions play a huge part in the trad scene there. But so do Irish, French, and English. And that melting pot has created its own distinct musical sound. Cape Breton fiddler Glenn Graham is one champion of that sound. He's recorded a half a dozen solo albums to great acclaim. We're hearing a tune of his now, but he's also a scholar. His book, The Cape Breton Fiddle, Making and Maintaining the Tradition, came out in 2006, and he's busy pursuing a doctorate in between recording and playing gigs. He joins me on the line now from his home in Halifax, ready to give us some insight. Glenn, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, glad to be here.
The focus of this year's Irish Fest is Nova Scotian music, and I would say probably the most important instrument in Nova Scotian music is the fiddle. Is that fair?
Well, I suppose I would be biased in saying that, but at least to certain regions of Nova Scotia, you would definitely say that the fiddle is the most common instrument, especially Cape Breton Island. Although you do find it, you know, in some of the urban centers, which a lot of people have relocated to, such as Halifax. But for sure, even though people consider the fiddle to be the most common instrument, we have all these accompanying instruments as well that people have been incorporating.
You talk about the accompanying instruments, and one of the things I think of that's particular to Nova Scotian traditional music is the use of the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that is particularly Nova Scotian or Cape Breton, or is that something that was adopted by the immigrants coming over from Ireland and Scotland?
Well, the pianos ended up becoming the most popular accompaniment instrument for the fiddling in general. However, you know, there were preceding instruments such as the pump organ. And before that, we had probably anything from just the step dancer's feet to rhythmic things such as knitting needles on the fingerboard of the fiddle. Around the same time, I think, that the pianos were introduced, you probably saw some guitars coming in as well. It's difficult to say which one was first introduced, but the piano itself did seem to take on being the predominant instrument. Not only that, but the style itself was developed and passed on with this generational evolution, which is quite interesting. And you see certain players that influence the piano style. To bring it to the point now that you can definitely pinpoint that it is something very kind of distinct. There's a distinctive sound to it within Cape Breton and other parts of Nova Scotia.
And that also is true for the fiddling technique as well. And that's something you've written a book about. The Europeans that came to Nova Scotia to settle were basically Scots and some Irish, English, probably some French. And they brought all their traditions with them. But what defines the Nova Scotian and the Cape Breton fiddle style now? What are we hearing that's different from the kind of fiddling that's happening, say, in Scotland or in Ireland now?
Well, it's such a question that you can really expand on in so many different ways. But first of all, there are still some, I think, distinctly even regional styles within Nova Scotia itself. There's a strong, what we call the old-time tradition that was influenced especially by a player named Don Messer, which you see kind of popular across Canada. But also, as I mentioned, in urban centers such as Halifax and Cape Breton Island and northeastern Nova Scotia, we had this style that was very much brought over and probably dominated by, just strictly because of numbers, the Highland Scottish influence. So this fiddle style basically mimics the sound of the bagpipes, influenced by the Gaelic language. But at the same time, some scholars are certainly pointing out that there's nothing that's absolutely pure. It's something that has very much been influenced by pockets of Irish in Cape Breton and pockets of Acadian settlements as well.
So is there a particular bowing technique? Is it the way the tunes are approached? You know, what makes it a Nova Scotian take on a jig or a reel?
Well, I think you'll notice that there's more of a back and forth, sort of maybe almost like a jagged rhythmic bowing pattern that is most prominent in Nova Scotia, especially Cape Breton. And this differs, I guess, from some of the Irish playing that you'd see with more slurring. You'll also see probably slightly more variations of ornamentation, not among all players, but with certain players, you see it more prominent in Cape Breton. And there's specific techniques that are very common to Cape Breton, such as things we call cuts, but they might call burls, you know, which are similar to roles, which they do in Irish music. As we say, there are differences and similarities.
Right. It's not like it's completely diverged into something unrecognizable, but that sound is so very particular.
Yeah, it's distinct. And I think one thing that shows how it remained distinct, I guess, from some of the playing in Scotland has to do with the dancing that survived in Cape Breton more so than Scotland, because there were cultural and religious and economic pressures in Scotland that caused the immigrations. And when settlers got over here, they were able to maintain the step dancing, which was essentially lost in Scotland. And however, it has since reemerged due to other dancers going over there, and maybe due to just maybe a very slight number of individuals that still remembered this type of dance after these events had occurred.
Well, it sounds like the traditions that came from the Highlands in Scotland are in some ways more alive in Nova Scotia and Cape Breton, just because of what you were saying, that those people were able to maintain the traditions, and that perhaps even a little more pure than you might find even in the resurgence of traditional music in the Highlands.
Yes, that's certainly an argument that has been presented in, you know, scholarly discourse, and just if you hear it among certain people, especially in Cape Breton, I guess. But, I mean, having visited Scotland as well, they still have, you know, a very vibrant tradition in itself that I feel that sometimes we have to be careful what we say, because things just kind of, I think, musically evolve just in different ways. But I do know what you're saying, because, as we had mentioned, these pressures that occurred in the Highlands did not occur to such a great extent in Cape Breton. So at least what we're getting is maybe a closer picture to the way things were at the time of immigration in Cape Breton Island, as opposed to, you know, these pressures caused and certain individual violin players caused the fiddle style. The change in Scotland is sort of a sleeker, slightly more classically influenced style in certain regions, especially the Northeast. But they just diverge differently and evolve differently, but both are beautiful styles. And I think we all, maybe due to cultural exchange now, more of it that's going on, the back and forth travel, I think that you see the influence, you know, certain fiddlers and musicians influence each other now due to travel. And that's one thing that's great about this, you know, festival such as the Milwaukee Irish Fest.
One of the most important things that happens here is the after-hour sessions, where everyone, all the musicians are sitting down and they're playing until 6 in the morning, trading tunes and trading ideas and just having a good time.
Yes, and, you know, I think that is the essence of these Irish and Scottish traditions, too, is this community-minded thing where it's not so much about planned performance, it's about people sitting down together and really getting to exchange ideas, tunes. So this has been going on for centuries now. So you see this occurring, as you say, after hours in these sessions where, you know, somebody will come home to Nova Scotia with a new tune that they learn from somebody who's over performing from Ireland, for instance. And that tune will be introduced to the tradition and might become a part of the tradition, you know, and last 30 years down the line or something. So it's pretty remarkable what these festivals do. They help, I think, expand people's views of what's available to them musically, but at the same time, it helps them value what they have at home when they come home to perform. So this exchange is really something I think is really great.
Now, how did you get interested in the scholarly aspect of it? Because you performed for a long time and still do.
Well, along with playing music and being interested in sports, I guess, as a youngster, academically speaking, I was always took it relatively seriously, I guess, my academics. Not that I was always studying, because I surely wasn't. But when I got to St. Evex University, I had actually taken political science, but I was playing music at the same time. And as that degree ended, I wanted to pursue my music career for a little while. But I always had in the back of my mind that academically, I would like to be involved with something that still interests me. So I found this really attractive program at St. Mary's University called the Atlantic Canada Studies Program, which allows you to write about anything you wish, really, as long as it had to do with Atlantic Canada Studies. So I thought it was just a great time and a great place to pursue my interests in exploring Cape Breton music from more of a scholarly standpoint than just playing it. And then it just kind of took off from there, I guess, academically.
Right, and now all of a sudden you're the expert.
Well,
or the academic expert, anyway.
Oh my gosh! Well, it seems like you do get calls, once you get a book out about something like that. But there are so many other people that you can learn so much from, and they're not necessarily, they're not the academics. They're the people you get to go out and talk to, the culture bearers and the tradition bearers. So there's a place, I think, for everything. And what I enjoyed about all this is that I was able to kind of mix the two things together.
For audiences that are going to come to the Irish Fest, say, for the first time, and maybe hear Cape Breton music and Nova Scotian music for the first time, what would you suggest they listen for?
Well, I think you brought up a couple of good things. First of all, with regard to the fiddling and the accompaniment, it's great to take a listen to that piano style, which incorporates other elements from other musical genres. I think people will notice that. They'll notice anything from probably ragtime to jazz influence to maybe even a little bit of blues. But still, it's such a unique style to listen for. So that's one thing I'd recommend. There's some great songwriters as well that will be coming out, and also singers of Gaelic songs. And I think it's important to listen to those Gaelic songs too, because there's a connection, certainly rhythmically, between the way that people play those fiddles and those Gaelic songs you're going to hear. So, one performer, for instance, that we were talking about earlier, just before we began speaking here on the air, was Mary Jane Lamond. And she and Wendy McIsaac play some wonderful Gaelic-style fiddling and singing together, which sounds so good with the arrangements that they come up with. Other than that, I think people should appreciate the variety, because there is certainly much more to this Nova Scotian music at this festival that you're going to hear than just the fiddling.
Well, I'm sorry you're not going to be here to play, Glenn. It would be lovely if that were the case, but maybe we'll catch you the next time you're in town.
Well, hopefully so, yeah. I very much enjoyed my last trip to Milwaukee, so hopefully I'll be back.
I hope so, too. And thanks so much for talking with us this morning. I so appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Michael.
Glenn Graham is an accomplished fiddler, composer, and scholar of the Nova Scotian tradition. We're hearing him here with a track called E-Tunes. There's a link to more about him, his music, and his book on the Cape Breton fiddle at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Well, the spotlight of this year's Irish Fest may be on Nova Scotia, but that doesn't mean we won't hear music from Ireland as well. Coming up next, the duo Creel comes to Milwaukee by way of England, Ireland, and Disney World. Well, we'll explain that when we come back. You're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM.